Good evening, everyone. This is Pastor Brennan coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another edition of the Fishers of Men video broadcast, and it's good to be here this evening. And it seems like it's been a long time since I've actually did a Fishers of Men, so I thought that I would actually postpone tomorrow for tonight. So if that's okay with you, I'm going to do my Fishers of Men broadcast tonight. And in that way, it can free me up some time tomorrow to get my message ready for Tuesday. And then I'll be doing my Pastor Brennan live on Tuesday, probably in the morning. And so you keep me in prayer for that. Please pray for me for this ministry, as well as my family. We're kind of going through a bit of a stressful time right now. So please keep my family and I in prayer. And please keep, like I said, the ministry in prayer. Please keep these videos in prayer. Please pray that God will take these videos and just use them for His kingdom and for His purpose and glory. Amen. And so we're going to... if you can do that, that'd be great. So with that said, tonight we're going to be continuing to talk about, we're still in Hebrews 11, and we're still continuing to talk about faith. And that's, I think, something that, you know, the Lord sort of, you know, showing me that I need to do more of, you know, have more faith. But we're going to continue talking about faith. We're going to continue talking about Moses. And the last time that we did the Fishers of Men, we talked about how Moses, by faith, Moses was hid for 3 months. Okay. And we talked about how his parents were God-fearing people, and they hid him, they hid Moses for 3 months, and eventually his mother made an ark of bulrushes and put Moses in there, and Pharaoh's daughter fished him out, okay? Therefore, he got the name Moses, okay? And so we talked about a little bit about that. We talked about how and why Pharaoh wanted these kids to die. Okay, he wanted these male children to die, and that's because Satan knew that God was going to raise up a deliverer for Israel. Okay, and by the way, don't we see that in our nation today? Don't we see that you know, the Lord's coming back for His church, and yet we're seeing a large amount of babies being killed by these abortion clinics. Okay, we're seeing a whole bunch of these innocent babies being killed in these abortion clinics, and I'm telling you, it's Satan is pulling the same old nonsense, except this time he's trying to prevent people from going to the Lord. Okay, but when we take a look at Moses, God was trying to prevent Moses from being raised up, and we know that Satan failed miserably. Okay, and Pharaoh had all these male children slaughtered, and we also see that with Herod when Jesus Christ was about to come on the scene, or did come on the scene. Herod had all these babies killed. Okay, guess what? Our nation is slaughtering these babies. It's not right. God had a plan for those kids. And for people to take the lives away from these innocent unborn babies is just pure evil and wicked. I'm going to tell you something. America's about to fall. And we're so divided in this nation. And it's going to get to a point, I think, that if you even speak out as to being pro-life, they're going to hate you for it. They're going to hate you. They're going to slap you around. They're going to start picking fights with you. And they're going to call you by every name in the book because you're pro-life. Okay? But here's the thing. You want to know something? Eventually, the Lord is going to send his angels to gather his people, and we're going to get eventually taken out of here. Amen? And by the way, Satan's tactic hasn't changed. The focus has changed a little bit to where he's trying to prevent people from going to Christ. Okay? But back then, it was to prevent Christ from coming and to prevent these redeemers and all these saviors, you know, that God was going to raise up. God was trying to prevent their coming, but now Satan shifted his focus and he's going to prevent people from going to Christ. Okay, so we're going to be talking about, we're going to continue. So that's what we talked about last time. If you have any questions about it, I want to encourage you, go back and watch that video. Most likely it'd be better to watch it on YouTube, okay? But this time we're going to continue to be talking about Moses. Okay? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 11, and we're going to start in verse 24, okay? It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, okay, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Let me tell you something. You know what Moses demonstrated there? You know what Moses demonstrated? He demonstrated what Paul says, to crucify the flesh daily. The Apostle Paul says that we need to be crucifying the flesh daily. Paul says, "I die daily." That's exactly what Moses chose. He chose to crucify the flesh by saying no to the pleasures of sin and yes to being afflicted with his people. By the way, that right there is a type and picture of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because Jesus Christ, there was a part of him that didn't want to go through being crucified. And he said, "God, if there's another way, not my will, but thine will." And you know what? Because the love that Jesus Christ has for us, he still went to that cross and he still went through all that agony because he loves you. And guess what? Moses probably had a love for his people. In so much that he was willing to be afflicted with them. And by the way, if you don't believe me, Moses killed an Egyptian. Because an Egyptian was basically afflicting one of his brethren, his own people. And Moses murdered an Egyptian. Isn't that something? Moses murdered an Egyptian, and yet God still used him to do great and mighty things. He became the deliverer of Israel. And yet he murdered an Egyptian. Thou shalt not kill. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you should go around committing sin and intentionally breaking the law and going around killing people and getting the mentality that God will use you no matter what. No, that's not what I'm trying to get at. What I'm getting at is that Moses wasn't perfect either. Moses had a sin nature. He had a flesh. Okay, the only one that had a flesh with no sin nature was Jesus Christ. Okay, now, So choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Okay? So we're going to be taking a look at that part of it today. Okay? Next time, we're going to be taking a look at how he fled Egypt. Okay? Because he actually fled Egypt after he killed the Egyptian. Okay? Now, I want us to go to Acts. So turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Okay? Acts chapter 7. Let's see here. I think it's verse 20. Let's see here. Okay, verse 22, Acts chapter 7, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Okay, so we see that Moses, now this was the account of Stephen. Okay, Stephen, okay, was giving a testimony essentially of the whole Bible. Essentially, he was kind of going through the whole Bible, kind of like in Hebrews 11 a little bit, okay? But Stephen was giving his testimony, and after they got done, they stoned Stephen to death, okay? But right before, he had this, our fellow brother Stephen, he had this testimony that he saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. Standing. Which I kind of wonder if that was the Lord's way of showing us that the Lord was getting ready to welcome Stephen home. That's kind of what I'm wondering. Because Stephen has specific language. It says that he was standing at the right hand. Not sitting. Okay, he was standing. Okay, by the way, if that's true, that means that should show you that the Lord knows when you're going home. That should show you that the Lord knows when you will depart from this earth. And when he does, and when you do, you're gonna leave this body and go, and you're going to be with the Lord forevermore. Amen. So, I want us to go to Exodus. So turn with me to Exodus. And this probably won't be a very big sermon. It probably won't be a big message. Because this is kind of a very short part, but there's a lot on Moses, okay? There's actually a lot of Moses, okay? And the stuff that Moses did. And by the way, the fact that Moses killed an Egyptian and the fact that God was still able to use him, okay? Let me make this point, okay? No matter how bad, it doesn't matter how bad you are, okay? What God wants is your heart, okay? And what I mean by no matter how bad you are, okay? You take a look at Saul, who then became Paul. Saul persecuted the church. He had people killed. He was a murderer. He was a thief. And guess what? God met him halfway on his way to Damascus. And you know what happened? Saul got converted. Okay? Saul got converted. Okay, doesn't matter what you've done. What matters is, are you willing to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to surrender your heart to Christ? Are you willing to surrender your whole self for the service of our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do that? Are you? Okay? Because I'm going to tell you something. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. And if He wants your heart, He wants to use you in mighty ways. Amen. God wants to use you. But are you willing to surrender? That's the key right there. To surrender. Amen. All right, turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. And let us go down to verse 10. Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. By the way, I got a joke for you guys, okay? Hang on a second. I got to get my sound effects here, because it's going to be a good joke, okay? I got a Bible joke here for you. Just a second. I got to turn my stuff up here. Okay. You know who the greatest financial planner in the Bible was? The greatest financial planner in the Bible was Pharaoh's daughter, because she went to the bank of the Nile and pulled out a prophet. That's a joke. Get it? Prophet, like... Prophet, but also prophet as in like the one of the Lord's prophets. And by the way, Moses was a prophet, by the way. Anyways, enough of the joke. I just want to see if I can make anyone laugh. Anyways, so, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied on an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Okay? And he looked this way and that way. You know what Moses was doing? He was making sure that nobody could see him. I mean, obviously God could see him, but he just wanted to make sure that nobody saw him. That's interesting, isn't it? And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. I don't know about you, but that's pretty bold, isn't it? You see one of your brethren getting beat up by an Egyptian, and Moses goes, makes sure there's no one around, kills the Egyptian, and hides him in the sand. Obviously, there's no other place to, you know, there's obviously no other place to put him but the sand. And then he became food for the scorpions. That's a... Not really. I don't know. Were there scorpions around there? I don't know. That's kind of an odd thing, right? anyways, but Moses hid the Egyptian in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him, that did the wrong. Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Let me tell you something. When Moses killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand, the place of the scorpions, that was a joke. That was a really bad joke. I'm sorry. But when Moses hid the Egyptian in the sand, word got out. By the way, that tells you that be careful what you say, because news can travel faster than you think. Okay? The word got out that Moses killed the Egyptian. And Moses did it with the intention to spare his own people. To spare his own brethren. Okay. Now, this is where I'm going to leave off in verse 15. It says, "Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." Okay, so now let's take a look at some things here real quick. Okay, first thing that we notice here, let's go back here. So we see that Moses killed the Egyptian. Okay, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. And the reason for it was that the reason why Moses did it, because he saw the Egyptian smiting or you know, getting at his own brethren. Okay, so Moses killed him and hit him in the sand. Now, when we back up a bit, it says that, by the way, that must have been very risky, okay, to do that. That had to be probably very risky to kill what people think is your own people to save another group of people. Okay? Moses was not an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. Okay? Let's not get that mixed up. Now, let's see here. Let's see. Crucify. Oh my word, I can't even spell. Let's see here. Is it crucify? The flesh. Here, let's put the flesh. Or flesh. Let's put fleshly desires. Fleshly desires. No, let's put fleshly. Let's see if that pulls up anything here. Okay. Oh, here we go. 2 Peter. Wow, I can't even read today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Okay? Even though that Moses was raised by the Egyptians, okay? He was taught in all the ways of the Egyptians. But we see in Hebrews 11 that he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter and to suffer the affliction of his own people, to not enjoy sin for a season. Okay, this is what Moses did, okay? And 1 Peter 2:11 is what Moses did, okay? Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts." That's what Moses did. He abstained from fleshly lusts. Now, you might say, well, how does that even correlate to killing and murdering an Egyptian? I mean, doesn't that really constitute as a fleshly thing? Yeah, it can. But you have to understand that, but you have to understand this, okay? Moses, I believe he did what he did because he would rather suffer the affliction with his people. Okay, and the Bible says this. He would rather suffer the affliction with his people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. So Moses took a risk at killing an Egyptian to save his own brethren. To risk being afflicted with his people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. How many of you would do that? How many of you would put yourself out there? Because I'm going to tell you something. That's hard to do. But you still need to crucify the flesh and the desires thereof. Amen? Let's see here. Let's see here. I want to see the desires thereof. Let's see here. I'm going to try to see here. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And oh, wait a minute. That's hang on a second. That's not right. Hang on a second. That's not the right one. Let's see here. Let's see here. Where's my phone? Here we go. Hang on a second. I gotta see something real quick, and I have to apologize. I didn't plan this out as I should. So just bear with me here. Just a second here. Let's see. Crucify the flesh. Here we go. That's not it. Here we go. Turn with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. We're going into the New Testament. How about that? That's praise the Lord, right? Hey, praise the Lord for the whole Bible. Galatians 5. Galatians 5:24. Oh, that's Colossians. That's Philippians. Ephesians. That's not it. I can't find it. Hang on. Oh, here we go. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 24. Okay. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Okay. That's what Moses demonstrated. Okay. That's an Old Testament demonstration of what Moses did. He'd rather crucify the flesh and say no to his flesh, suffer the affliction of his people and say no to sin. Let me ask you all a question. How many of you watching do that? How many of you who are watching do that? Say no to your flesh and crucify it and say no to sin. How many of you guys actually do that? Because I'm going to tell you something. As per speaking with me, there are times it seems easier than others, but it is much easier said than done. Okay? That's right, sister. It's hard to do. But the Bible says to do it. We have to learn how to say no to our flesh. You know, our flesh is like a disobedient dog, right? Sometimes when you have a disobedient dog, you just gotta tell it, no. Bad dog. Gotta tell that flesh, bad flesh. No flesh. No. We have to learn how to say no to our flesh. We just have to. We have to learn how to say no to our flesh. See, that's what Moses did. He said no to his flesh and decided to be afflicted with his own people. Okay? Moses basically put a big old gigantic target on the back of him. And by the way, that's what preachers do, by the way. I'm talking good Bible preachers who preach the word. They put a target on their back because the fact is that people are getting more wicked and evil by almost by the month, it seems like. And people hate the truth. And for pastors, for good Bible preaching pastors to come out and say and call sin as it is, they're basically painting a target on themselves. And they're not doing it on purpose. It's just that the fact is that when you preach the truth, the devil hates it. Okay, the devil hates it. Especially now. Now, don't you think that, I don't know, maybe that the devil is trying to interfere with Moses? Probably. But Moses stuck his neck out to, you know, to save his own fellow brethren from this Egyptian that was smiting him. Okay? We are to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts. Okay? Let's go back up a little bit here. Okay? It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Okay? But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders. Okay? Murders. Drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things should not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. Moses killed, he murdered an Egyptian because he was protecting his own people. Yeah, you can say that Moses' flesh got in the way. But he refused the sinful pleasures of Egypt and stuck his neck out so that he could save his own brothers. Rahab the harlot deliberately lied so that she could, she did that. She deliberately lied to protect the spies that Joshua sent. Deliberately lied. They went to Rahab and said, Where are the two men that came in here? By the way, I'm paraphrasing. Rahab said, I don't know. I don't know where they're at. Now let me ask you a question. Okay, this was after the law was given, okay? This was a Gentile woman who was a harlot, and she bore false witness and she lied for the protection of these two spies. And yet God accounted her as faithful, saved her and her whole house, and she got included into the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that shows you that Jesus Christ takes the foolish things and uses them to confound the wise. Let's go to that verse, okay? Foolish things. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Amen. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Why do you think Jesus Christ resisted the Pharisees numerous times? He resisted the Pharisees. Oh, by the way, you know, there are times that I name call. I call people names. But just so you know, did you not know that Jesus called people names? He called the Pharisees vipers. He called the Pharisees vipers. That's name calling. By the way, the fact that Jesus said that doesn't make our Lord a bully. No, our Lord Jesus Christ is not a bully. Jesus Christ name called the Pharisees because it is true. They are a bunch of brood of vipers. By the way, so is the Vatican. The Vatican are just a bunch of brood of, just a bunch of religious, hypocritical, Pharisee, two-faced, fork-tongued vipers, and nothing good comes out of their mouth. There you go. That's right, sister. Jesus Christ called it as it was. We should too. Shouldn't we? By the way, John the Baptist, okay, had a flesh. He himself called the Pharisees vipers and hypocrites. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something. If John the Baptist was alive today, I guarantee you that the churches like Kenneth Copeland and all these other churches wouldn't allow John the Baptist to even preach. They'd persecute him and say, well, you got to be more Christ-like. You got to be more loving. Let me tell you something. When the megachurch people tell you that you need to love others as Christ did, what they're really telling you is that you need to compromise so that you don't offend anybody. And by the way, Jesus said he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword divides. A sword divides. And clearly, that's what Moses demonstrated. He divided himself away from the Egyptians to suffer persecution and affliction with his own people. Okay? Now, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. Let's see here. Flesh is weak. Okay. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Moses had a weak flesh. Okay, he killed an Egyptian. Okay, he had a weak flesh. But he was able to say no to the pleasures of Egypt. Oh! Okay, you guys are going to love this. Okay, Egypt is a type and picture of the world. Okay. Out of Egypt, I'll call my son. Okay. That's what God said in his word. He said, out of Egypt, I'll call my son. You could translate that as out of the world, God called the son. And by the way, Jesus Christ, he said, I am not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus also said that no servant is greater than his master. That means if Jesus was called out of this world, he has called you out of this world. And therefore, Moses chose to not be of Egypt or be of the world. He chose to be with God's people, even when it meant that he was probably going to get whipped and nailed on. By the way, that's a lesson we can all take in these evil and dark days that are about to come on America. Because I'm going to tell you something. America is about to fall. Where's your faith? Is your faith in man, or is it in this book? Okay. Who will you choose? Will you choose to suffer persecution with God's people? Or will you choose the sinfulness, the sinful pleasures of this world for a season? Ooh! Okay. That right there is a type and picture of what is to come in our days. Why? Because before we go home, I believe there's going to be a persecution on God's people. Who will you choose? Will you choose to be the ones that persecute God's people? Or will you join among the persecuted? Because if you join among the persecuted, you will be rewarded greatly. But if you go amongst those who persecute God's people, God's going to deal with you harshly. You know why? Because it's God who avenges his children. This is probably going to be an excellent way to kind of close all this up. Okay? I'm going to close with this. Who will you choose? The days are getting darker. Okay? The days are getting darker. Persecution is about to hit this planet. And this nation. Moses chose to suffer affliction with his people. The question I have for you is, will you choose? Will you be strong enough in Christ to choose to suffer affliction with your fellow brothers and sisters? Or will you choose to go the ways of this world? Who will you choose? Will you choose Christ or will you choose Antichrist? Because I'm going to tell you something. All you two-faced, fork-tongued, pharisaical vipers. Let me tell you something. You may profess the Lord with your mouth, but your heart is far from him. And I'm going to tell you something. When it comes time to when you have to choose between Christ and Antichrist, you will choose the Antichrist over Christ. You know why? Because the Lord doesn't know you. And you really don't know the Lord. Because if you were truly born again and spirit-filled, you would choose Jesus Christ all the way. But when Jesus was on trial, the Pharisees wanted Barabbas to be released. And they wanted Jesus Christ to be crucified. Let me tell you something, folks. It was not the Jews who put the Lord to death. It was your sin. It was their sin, your sin, my sin. I don't care who it is. It was your sin that put Christ on that cross. Your sins put Jesus Christ on that cross. But let me tell you something. Let me give you some good news. The good news is that on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And he is alive forevermore. And he's coming back. See, unlike the Roman Catholic syndicate, or I call it the syndicate because it's really a syndicate, really. A religious syndicate. But unlike the Roman Catholic, see, the Roman Catholic Church, they worship a dead god, little g. Their god is dead. But you want to know something? Jesus Christ is not dead. He is alive. My question is, will you choose to accept him today? Because I'm going to tell you something. The Lord loves you. Okay? Even when you despitefully reject him and deliberately reject him, he still loves you. But that does not mean that you're going to heaven. Okay? How do you get to heaven? Okay? For those of you that are watching and you don't know that if you're saved, this is how you go to heaven. Jesus said that you must be born again. Okay? John chapter 3. You must be born again. Because if you're not, you won't see the kingdom of God. How do you become born again? Whosoever shall confess, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead on the third day, you'll be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you sincerely go before the Lord with a sincere heart, admit that you are a sinner, you confess your sins. You confess your sins. You ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you and to wash you with his blood. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. And ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And to ask him to fill you with his Spirit. What you're doing is you're surrendering to the Lord. And by doing that sincerely, you will be saved. You will be saved. Amen. But listen, I don't want you guys taking my word for things. I want you to take what I say and you match it with this Bible. If what I say does not match with what God says, let God be true and every man a liar. If I'm wrong, I pray and ask that the Lord will correct and rebuke and chasten me and show me where I'm wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. One of these days when I go home, I'm going to have to give an account as to what I did, whether good or bad. And it's either going to be an addition of rewards or I'm going to lose rewards. Okay? But here's the thing. If I am right, I pray and ask that he will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen. Now listen, why is that up there? I don't know why. Remind me later. Something like that. Okay. So here's the thing. Okay. I'm going to play a hymn. It's a short hymn. Okay. It's Pass Me Not. Okay, it is 42 seconds long. I'm going to play it. Okay, and while this is playing, I want you to think of what I said. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. The days are getting darker, and this nation is getting more wicked by the minute. Actually, it's getting more wicked by the day, it seems like. It's just it's getting wicked. We have compromised so much in this nation, and one of these days, we may have to suffer persecution because of what we believe in. Okay? So while I'm playing this, I want you guys to think about this, okay? Think about it. Think about what I said. Okay? Think about what I said, but think Bible, folks. Think of what the Word of God says. Amen? So while I play this, think of what I had mentioned. But mainly, really think about what God's word says. Amen? So here it goes. I'm going to go ahead and play it for you here. Listen, I know this was not a very lengthy sermon, but I really missed doing my Fishers of Men, and so I wanted to do my Fishers of Men. But because I did it today, I won't do a broadcast tomorrow because I'm going to be preparing my message for Tuesday. And Tuesday, I'm going to be getting in more into my Ten Commandments series, and we're going to be talking about the first commandment. And I pray and hope. That this Ten Commandments series will show you that we cannot keep the law. Because we can't. Okay, I can't keep the law. You can't keep the law. Nobody can keep the law. If anybody tells you they can keep the law, they are lying through their teeth. Okay? But listen, I want you guys, hopefully you guys can stay tuned for that on Tuesday, because the purpose of this Ten Commandments series is to show you that the law was put there to show you that you need a savior, that you can't keep the law, that you need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. Amen? But that doesn't mean that we should go around and stealing, killing, and destroying. Amen? We shouldn't be doing that, okay? And by the way, the fact that you can't keep the law, that's not an excuse to go off and sin, okay? That is not an excuse to go off and sin and do what you want, because you can't just go off and sin just because you can't keep the law, okay? We are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast, okay? We are not saved by keeping the law. We are saved by faith through grace. Amen. So pray for me on that series, okay? Pray for me. Please pray for me and my family. We're kind of going through a rough time right now, okay? Financially, we're going through a rough time. So please pray for us. Please pray for the ministry. Please pray that God will take these videos and do with it as He pleases. Amen. But listen, this is Pastor Brandon. I'm signing off for today. This is indeed a broadcast that hell hates. And the more you listen, the more you know why. Amen. But anyways, with that said, I love you guys. God bless you. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Thank you for bearing with me and being patient with me. I am signing off for the evening. God bless you guys. You guys have a great rest of your Sunday. Have a great week. And if the good Lord willing, we'll see you Tuesday. I love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye.